Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we had discussed those factors that invalidate the salah of a person. Today, the chapter that Hazrat Ali rahmatullahi alayhi has brought, jo cheezein namaz mein makruh aur mana' hai, unka bayan. Those things that are makruh in salah, and those things that are prohibited in salah. Those things that are disliked, that are makruh in salah, and those things that are prohibited in salah. Makruh wo cheez hai, jis se namaz nahi tooti. He's giving you the definition of makruh. Makruh refers to those things by which of a salah is not invalidated. The namaz of a person doesn't break. By doing something that's makruh, namaz doesn't break. Lekin sawab kam ho jata hai aur gunah ho jata hai. But the reward of a person decreases and a person is also sinful. So any act that is makruh, the salah won't become invalid. But the sawab, the reward will decrease and a person will be sinful for carrying out a makruh act. اپنے کپڑے یا بدن یا زیور سے کھیلنا کنکریوں کو ہٹانا مکروہ ہے. That for a person to play with his clothing while performing salah, he is fiddling with his clothes. Or a person is fiddling with his body. یا زیور سے کھیلنا. Or a person is playing with some jewelry. Person, for example, he got a watch. Now, whilst in salah, he is fiddling with that watch of his. Or lady, she is wearing bangles or something, she is fiddling with those bangles. کنکریوں کو ہٹانا. For a person to remove stones. Normally this doesn't apply to us because we're reading namaz in the masjid where there's carpet. But in the previous times, Masjidun Nabawi, there were no carpets that were there. So they used to read namaz on the floor, on the ground. So now if a person is going in sajda, so there could be a stone there. So a person makes sajda now on the stone, so he may be hurt. So it's permissible for a person to move it out once. But for a person now to play with the stones, that is makruh. البتہ ان کنکریوں کی وجہ سے سجدہ نہ کر سکے. But because of the stones, if a person cannot make سجدہ, تو ایک دو مرتبہ ہاتھ سے برابر کر دینا اور ہٹا دینا درست ہے. Then once or twice a person just moves it out and then he's able to make سجدہ. So he says there's no problem, this is correct. نماز میں انگلیوں چٹخانا اور کولے پر ہاتھ رکھنا. That in salah for a person to crack the fingers. Or a person to keep his hand on his side. Or daaye baaye muh mor ke dekhna. Or for a person to turn, to see towards the right, to see towards the left, to look around in namaz. Ye sab makruh hai. This is all considered as makruh. Albatta, agar gin ankiyo se kuch dekhe, aur gardan na phere, to waisa to makruh nahi hai. But if a person, just with the side of the eye, he doesn't move the neck at all. With the side of the eye, if a person, he looks, for example, to the right, or he looks to the left. So he says that this act of looking with the corner of the eye, without turning the head, he said, this is not makruh. Lekin bila zarurate shadida aisa karna bhi achcha nahi hai. But if a person does not have a severe need to do so, then a person should not do so. It's best that a person, he totally refrains. And we did it many a times that the mustahab of salah, where we should keep our gazes, that is where the gaze of a person should be kept. Namaz mein dono pair khara rakh kar baithna ya chozano baithna ya kutte ki tarah baithna, ye sab makruh hai. In namaz, for a person to lift his legs up and sit, like how we sit now, how I'm sitting now, this is tashahud. So now for a person to lift up his legs, or for a person to sit cross-legged, or to sit like how a dog sits, this is all makruh. A person shouldn't sit in that manner. The manner we sit in namaz, the tashahud position, that is how a person should sit in salah. Ha, dukh bimari ki wajah se, jis tarah baithne ka hukam hai, us tarah na baith sake, to jis tarah baith sake baithe. He says, yes, it's a different case. If a person is going through some pain, or a person has some illness, because of which a person can only sit in this particular manner that he is sitting and no other way, then there is some concession for a person to sit in that manner where he picks up his leg, or a person has to stretch out his leg, then it becomes permissible. At that time, it won't be makruh now to sit in this manner because of illness, because of a valid excuse, a person. But under normal circumstances, a person, he shouldn't sit in that particular manner. سلام کے جواب میں ہاتھ اٹھانا اور ہاتھ سے سلام کا جواب دینا مکروہ ہے. That in responding to salam, somebody said, assalamu alaikum. So what we did now, a person, he lifted up his hand to reply because he's in salah, so he can't speak. So he lifts up his hand and he indicates that he's responding to the salam. This is also makruh. Or agar zuban se jawab diya, so namaz tut gayi. Just we did yesterday. That if verbally a person had to respond, he gave the jawab. He said, wa alaykum as-salam. Then he responded to somebody out of salah. So the namaz of a person is invalid. Jaisa ke upar bayan ho chuka. He says, this is already passed. We already explained it. Namaz mein idhar udhar se apne kapre ko sametna, sambalna, ke mitti se na bharne paave makruh hai. He says, for a person to fold a clothes from this end or from that end and to bring it together so that it is not soiled on the ground. So he says this is also makruh. Many people, what they do is sometimes the trouser is long. Sometimes it is below the ankle. It should be always above the ankle. But sometimes when going into sajda, people have this habit. They now two hands, they pick it up. So here two hands, we did the masla yesterday. That where a person uses two hands, what happens? But for a person now to fold the clothing up or pull the clothing up, without a valid excuse, this is makruh. A person shouldn't do this. Jis jagah ye dar ho ke koi namaz mein hasa dega, where there's fear that if I'm going to read namaz over here, then somebody is going to make me laugh. Maybe there's somebody sitting there, they saying jokes over there. So these people are going to make me laugh. Ya khyal bach jawega, oh, my thoughts are going to be diverted because these people are talking, so I'm going to listen to them also, what they are saying. Because of which my thoughts are going to be diverted, it won't be in salah any longer. Aur namaz mein bhool chuk ho jawegi. And because of this now, when I'm going to listen to today's talks, or somebody is going to make me laugh in salah, but we did the masla of laughing, that if you laugh aloud, and the person next to you has to hear you, then immediately your namaz becomes invalid. Your wudu breaks also. So, this person now will error in namaz. Aisi jaga namaz parna makruh. It's makruh for a person to perform salah in such a place. This refers to nafil namaz. That you came to read nafil namaz, somebody is talking in one corner, or somebody is going to make you laugh because of the conversation going on there. So don't read namaz in that place. Go to a place in seclusion or somewhere where it's quiet and you can perform your salah properly with concentration, rather give your salah there. Agar koi aage baithi baatein kar rahi ho, if there's somebody that's sitting in front, so in the front stuff, for example, somebody is sitting here, and this person is talking here in the front stuff, ya kisi aur kaam mein lagi ho, or this person that is sitting here, they're busy doing some work. So iske peech ki taraf muh karke namaz parna makruh nahi hai. So for somebody to stand behind there and to perform salah facing the back of this person, his back is facing you and he's talking to somebody or he's occupied doing some work, this is not makruh. There's no problem. A person can read namaz behind such a person. Agar namazi ke samne Quran Sharif ya talwar latki ho, to iska kuch haraj nahi hai. That if there is a Quran Sharif that is kept in front of a namazi, person performing salah, there's a Quran Sharif that is kept in front, or there's a sword that is hanging over there, then also there's no problem in performing salah. This question comes about, or this masla comes about, because we did the masla yesterday or the day before, that if a person is performing salah, and there's fear that somebody is going to pass, then if it's an open area where there's no pillars, etc., then put something into the ground. But then there we said, that put it to the right or to the left, don't put it in front. That doubt mustn't come that this person is worshipping that stick. So here when the Quran Sharif is in front, or that sword is in front, so here also the very same doubt can be created, that this person is making the ibadat of Quran Sharif. He's making sajda to the Quran Sharif. Or he's making sajda to the sword. So he says, if this is there, then this doubt doesn't exist. Jis farsh par tasweere bani ho, is par namaz ho jati hai. He says that if there's a carpet, and on this carpet, there are some pictures that are there. So namaz will take place on that carpet. Although the carpet has pictures on it, which is not permissible, but namaz will take place. Lekin tasveer par sajda na kare. But when you're making sajda, then don't make sajda on that picture. Wherever the picture is, don't make sajda on the picture. So in other words, if the picture is somewhere here, maybe read namaz on this side. So don't perform where the picture is. Aur tasveer dar, jaan namaz rakhna makruh hai. And it is makruh, it is abhorrent, that a person keeps a musalla that has pictures on it. So a person should be careful when he's buying his musalla also, like if you're buying a musalla for the house, that best is plain, this is the best, that a plain musalla. And if a person is buying with some design, then ensure that it doesn't have any picture that is on it. Aur tasweer ka ghar mein rakhna bara guna hai. To keep the picture in the house, this is a major sin. This is a major sin that a person keeps pictures. And the same ruling will apply. Allah Ta'ala save all of us, and Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that a person, he's got these pictures on the cell phone. Or many people, they got profiles. They got pictures over there on the profile. So many people, the front screen of the cell phone, they got a picture of somebody. So here, a person, by keeping these pictures, he is depriving himself of the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The malaika, they won't come into that home where there are pictures. Whereas there are so many favors of the malaika, or so many places where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends the malaika. For example, on the occasion of the Battle of Badr, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ. Remember the time when the malaika, إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala inspired to the malaika, إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ فَثَبِّتُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that go and keep the believers steadfast on the battlefield. Because there it was a ratio of 3-1. The Muslims were 300. And the kuffar, there were approximately 1,000 of them. So 3 times the number. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala send down the malaika here, that you go and you fight on the side of the believers. So see, they had the protection of the malaika. In the 13th para, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Ra'ad, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِن خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِّن أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, that there are angels that are sent to protect the human being, مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ, that are in front, وَمِن خَلْفِهِ, and behind a person. They protect him by the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Many a time you find that a child, he fell from a high place. But when you picked him up, maybe there was just one bump on his head or one bump on some part of his body and he's fine. But from the height that the child fell, then it was such a height that a person would think that this child would have broken his hand or broken his leg or even perhaps lost his life. So how is it that the child is totally intact? So this is the protection of the malaika. These malaika that are in front of you, that are behind you, they're protecting you all the time. Sometimes you look at a car accident. So when you look at the condition of the car, it's a write-off. It's finished, smashed. But the person that was inside the car, many a times he comes out without a scratch. So you wonder how he came out without a scratch, when the car is a write-off here. So that is now the protection of the malaika. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses these farishtas, these angels, to protect. Each one has these malaika, which are protecting him. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala says that at the time of maut, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, that those that say our Rabb is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, then they remain steadfast upon deen. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ, then in the time of maut, at the time of death, these angels come down. And what the angels tell a person, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, there's no need for you to fear also, and there's no need for you to grieve also. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ, and they give them glad tidings of Jannah, which they have been promised. So see, all this happens with the malaika. The malaika come down for all these things. So here, when a person, he brings this picture now, so he deprives himself from the malaika. He's depriving himself. Because now the malaika, he's broken up that protection which Allah Ta'ala has given him. This was a protection that was given. But now when a man got a picture, the malaika is not going to come by this person. So that protection that he has, that protection has been broken. On the day of, on the night of Lailatul Qadr, which is among the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. We don't know exactly which night it is. Could be the 21st, they say it's an odd night. 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. So on the night of Laylatul Qadr, which is that particular night, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down. And he comes down with a group of malaika. And it's mentioned on this night, whoever is in the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they go to the entire earth. And anyone that is in the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they go and meet that person. They shake hands with that person. So everyone over here will say that till today nobody shook my hand. So there's not a physical handshake that takes place. But there are signs that the malaika have now come and greeted this person. That is, now this person, he enjoys that ibadat that he's making. Automatically now he just starts crying all of a sudden. And now he makes tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These are all indications, these are all signs that the malaika have come and they have shaken hand with this person. But that home in which there is a dog, now it's a different case where a dog is kept for security purposes. So there is permissible to keep a dog outside for security. But it refers to where a person keeps a dog as a pet inside the house. Or where there are pictures, the malaika don't enter that house. As I mentioned on one occasion, that when they were living, when he was in Germiston. So he says there was a lady that she was experiencing the pangs of death. But whilst experiencing the pangs of death, the ruh is not leaving the body. And that's the time it's very, very difficult. When the ruh is now leaving the body, this actually starts from the leg. It starts from the toe. And then from the toe it starts coming up. The ruh starts coming up. And this is now like you take a silken cloth, a very, very fine cloth, and you take it and you put it over thorns, and you pull that cloth. What happens? It rips. It rips the whole cloth. So exactly that's the same. That now when the ruh is leaving the body, now the more a person, for example, he has love of dunya, has love of his house, a person has love of his car, he has love of woman, now it becomes more difficult, even more difficult. So now the ruh wants to come out, but it doesn't want to let go, because the love of all this is holding it back now. So it starts coming up from the legs, and then slowly it starts coming to the, once it comes up to the shin, then you find that the leg of a person becomes lame. That is why when a man is passing away, first thing, he falls down. So he falls. And then slowly, gradually, it comes to the top. And then finally, the ruh of a person, it comes out from the nose, and then the ruh of a person, it leaves. Where was I? I went off from somewhere. I was explaining one point here. Okay? See, one point about the pictures. Gee, the lady. Jazakumullah, mashallah. Good sami. Gee. So the lady was in the house there. So she was in the pangs of death. So that's a very difficult stage now, when the ruh is leaving the body. So when she was in the house, the ruh wasn't leaving. So then they checked under the bed. There was a puppy under the bed. So they took the puppy out. The moment they took the dog out, immediately the ruh left the body. So see, we deprive ourselves of the mercy and of the assistance that Allah Ta'ala is affording, the protection that Allah Ta'ala is affording by means of the malaika. So therefore the clothing, even the children, the clothing that we buy for the children, they cannot have pictures on it. The toys that we're buying for children. Many a time we're buying toys that have this murad, that are animate objects. That is not permissible. So many people, what do they say? They say, no, you know what, I know what to do. Just take out the eye. Just take out the eye and that is sufficient. So on the clothing, they'll maybe bring some paint or something and they just color it. And they'll say that is sufficient. That is not sufficient. The fuqaha say that a man that is blind, he can't see, but he still got life. He's still living. Although he cannot see, he is living. He is living a normal life. The only thing is, Allah Ta'ala has deprived him of sight. So just by removing the eye, that is not sufficient. If a person wants to make it kosher, he wants to make it above board, then a person has to remove the entire neck. You can't get a man without a neck. He's dead. So the entire neck has to be removed. If the neck is removed, then it is okay. Then that toy is permissible in the house. Or that clothing without the entire neck, which is virtually impossible, nobody will want to wear it, because now it's going to look ugly. When you're going to take out the whole neck and the remainder of the body is there, it's not going to look too nice. So a person best is try to abstain from these things. So here that's what he says, when you buy your musalla also, ensure that it does not have a picture on it. And to keep these pictures in the house is a major sin. Agar tasweer sar ke upar ho, if that picture, you're reading namaz in the room, and that the picture that is there is above the head, it is above the head. Yani chat mein, it is in the roof. Ya chatgiri mein tasweer bani hui ho, or in the ceiling. It's either in the roof or where there are today the ceilings all over. So that picture is on the ceiling. Ya aage ki taraf. Ya aage ki taraf ko ho. Ya dai taraf. Or it is in front of you. Or it is on your right. Ya bai taraf ho. Or it's on your left. So namaz makruh. Namaz becomes makruh. If it's on the top, it's on your right, it's on your left, it's in front of you, in these directions, namaz is makruh. Or agar pair ke niche ho, to namaz makruh nahi. But if this picture is below your feet, then in that case, namaz won't be makruh. Lekin agar bohot choti tasweer ho, ki agar zameen par rakh do, to khare ho kar na dikhai de. But if it's such a, one is if it's under your feet, then it's not makruh. Or it is such a small picture, it is such a small picture, that if the picture is left on the ground, it is so small that a person is unable to see it. A very, very small picture that a person is unable to see it. Ya puri tasweer na ho, balki sar kata hua ho. Or it's not a complete picture, but the head has been cut off, like what we explain now. Right? So it's a very, very small picture, or a person is under his feet, or the head has been cut off. Ya mita hua ho. To unka kuch haraj nahi. Then there is no harm. Then it won't be regarded, your namaz won't be considered as makruh, because it's a very, very small picture, or the head has been totally cut off. Aisi tasweer se kisi surat mein namaz makruh nahi hoti. With such pictures, which is a very, very small picture, namaz will not become makruh, chahe jis taraf ho, irrespective of where the picture is, whether it's on top, whether it's in front, whether it's to the right or left, then it won't be makruh because it's a very small picture. But if it's a bigger picture which a person can see, then namaz will become makruh. Tasveer dar kapra pehen kar namaz padhna makruh hai. To wear clothing that has pictures on it, this is also makruh. Darakht ya makan waghaira, kisi bejaan cheez ka naksha bana ho, to wo makruh nahi hai. If there is a tree or there's a house, something that is inanimate. Now this is drawn on the clothing. There's a house drawn there. Or children sometimes they have a car that is drawn over there. So he says this type of clothing there's no problem. It's not makruh to read namaz with this type of clothing. We'll continue from there tomorrow inshallah. Regarding the next kitab. Gee, we're doing regarding the various fluids. Such as haze, money, mazi, etc. So the second matla, he says, while sleeping one has a wet dream and even experiences some excitement. However, on awakening one notices that no semen was discharged. This we did yesterday. That a person, he woke up in the morning and he sees there's no semen. But he remembered the entire scenario. He remembered what happened. So he said, ghusl will therefore not be obligated. There's no ghusl on this person because there's no wetness that is in. However, if semen was discharged, ghusl will be obligatory. If semen was discharged, whether you saw a dream or you never saw a dream, now ghusl will be obligatory. If there is any wetness on the clothing or body, but one is in doubt as to whether it is mazi or semen, then too it will be obligatory to make ghusl. A person found some wetness on the body. Now he is doubting that is this pre-coital fluid, that fluid by which the excitement increases, like what we explained yesterday, we discussed it in detail, where the excitement increases, the pre-coital fluid, mazi. So he doesn't know whether it's that. That only breaks the wudu. We said you have to wash yourself and go and make a fresh wudu. Or it is money, where a person, he is satisfied. So he does not know, he's not sure. So in this case, a person will have to take a ghusl. He'll have to take a complete ghusl now, because he's not sure. A little semen comes out, and one therefore had a bath. After bathing, more semen comes out. It will be obligatory to bath again. However, there's an exception to this rule. This is, for example, if a person, he had relation with his wife, or a person, he had a wet dream. Now, semen had emerged. So thereafter, a person has to go and take a ghusl. But after taking your ghusl, let's assume about 10 minutes later, now again there was some remainder that had now come out. So now a person has to take a ghusl again. That's what he's saying over here. But this is not all the time. This is where if a person, for example, after, before taking a ghusl, he took 40 steps. He walked. He took 40 steps. So he took those 40 steps and then he went and took a ghusl. Now after ghusl, now there was some semen that has emerged. So he doesn't have to repeat the ghusl now. Or a person after that, he went and relieved himself. After he had relation with his wife or he had this wet dream, now he went first to the toilet and he relieved himself. So that is what a person should do. And then he went to take a ghusl. And after taking the ghusl, now he finds that there is semen. So now he doesn't have to repeat the ghusl again. Now a person just has to repeat wudu. But if a person didn't take these 40 steps, or a person didn't go and relieve himself, and now a person just took the ghusl immediately, and after taking ghusl, he finds that now there is still wetness. Now that ghusl has to be repeated all over again. If due to some sickness or some other reason, semen comes out of its own accord, and there was no excitement or desire, then ghusl will not be obligatory. Right? If because of some sickness or some other reason, it says that semen just came out. There was no excitement, no desire, nothing. So this was because of some illness. So he says then ghusl will not be obligatory, but wudu will break. If one upon whom ghusl is obligatory wishes to eat or drink something before going to bath, he should first wash his hands, face and gargle his mouth. Thereafter he should eat and drink. Person upon whom ghusl was fard, ghusl was obligatory. He had relations with his wife. And let's say after that a person, he decided, you know what, I want to eat something, I'm hungry. Or I want to drink something. So there's no problem, a person can eat, he can drink. But this person, he must wash his hands, he must wash his face and gargle his mouth. This is preferable that a person does this before he partakes of any food, before he drinks anything. Ghusl is not fard in the following cases. In the following cases, it's not obligatory to take a bath. A. If sperm emerges without desire, that is sickness or carrying something heavy, this we did just now. B. Emergence of mazi and wadi, We explained madhi. Madhi was where a person, it increases the excitement. But a person doesn't reach climax when he is satisfied. So there your ghusl is not invalid. But a person there, he has to make wudu. If there is emergence of madhi, then he has to make wudu. And wadi is also a type of a liquid, a whitish liquid that comes out when a person, he has some illness. So sometime before a person urinates, when he goes to relieve himself, then there's a certain type of a fluid that emerges. So that is what is referred to as wadi. So that is also, it's not going to break your ghusl. A person just has to make wudu and continue. If a person remembers having a dream but finds no wetness or stain on his garment, he remembers the dream but there's no nothing wet there, so ghusl is not obligatory upon such a person. Inshallah, next is salah, but all the masail of salah are done here. So we will start with the masail of roza or fasting in the next lesson, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We come to the second sabak over here. And the second sabak is regarding niyat, takbir, tahrima and qiyam. Niyat, takbir, tahrima wa qiyam. That regarding the intention of a person, the takbir, tahrima, when a person says Allahu Akbar. And third, regarding qiyam, the standing posture of salah. So as it mentioned over here, the Shah Ahmad Shaheed, rahmatullahi alayh, baad is ke muh taraf kaaba ke khare ho kar kare. That after all this, he says, now what should a person do? Now he's ready for salah. So a person should face in the direction of Qibla and stand up for Salah. All the masail in regards to the direction of Qibla, all this has passed. That if a person doesn't know what is the direction of Qibla, etc., then what a person is required to do. Sir isme ye hai, ke Kaaba naaf-e-zameen hai. He says, what's the secret in this? He says, the secret is this, is that the Kaaba, this is the navel of the earth. In other words, it's the central point of the earth. As Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, that there are different ways of measuring what is the central point of the earth. There are various methodologies and ways of measuring the central point of the earth. But he says whichever methodology, whichever method is used in trying to calculate the central point of the earth, he says you will come exactly to the same point that this is the central point of the earth. And this is exactly where the earth initially it was filled with water. And exactly where Kaaba Sharif is today, this is where a bubble had appeared. And from here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread out the entire earth, from this point. So he says this is the navel of the earth. So we face, that is why we face in the direction of Kaaba Sharif. Aur tamam zameen, isi se phailai gayi hai. And it is from here that the entire earth has spread out from the Kaaba Sharif. Aur paidaish jisme aadmi ki khaak hai. And it says that the creation of the human being, of the body of the human being, he says this is from sand. That the human being, he has been created from sand. It's either, if you look at it this way, Adam alayhi salam, anta min Adam, wa Adamu min turab. You are from Adam alayhi salam. And Adam alayhi salatu salam, no father, no mother. He has been created directly from sand. Allah ta'ala created him directly from sand. And for us, we would say that we are created from the sperm. It is the sperm of the father that a child is created from, which is the outward means. But where does the sperm, where is the sperm created from? The sperm is created from food, the food that we eat. So the food that we eat is transformed into blood. This changes into blood. And then this becomes the sperm. So we are also created from food. And now if a person is eating, for example, meat, so that animal that grew, whether it's a goat, whether it's a sheep, whatever it might be, that animal ate grass. So that is from the sand also. Or whether it's a vegetable that we eat. So the vegetable also, it is from the sand. So whatever we eat, it is from sand. And the sperm is created from sand, so therefore we are also from sand. That is one reason that some fuqaha have mentioned. They say it's not permissible for a person to even book his grave, that when he's going to pass away, that a person cannot book. He cannot say, I must be buried and at a certain place. In a certain place, I must be buried. Yes, they say a person can prepare. There were many, many of the tabi'een that had prepared. They bought their kafan, they bought everything and they kept it ready. So when they would look at it, then this will remind them that one day I'm going to leave the world and they will prepare for the akhirah. But many say that you must not prepare book your grave because a person does not know where he stands or from and where he is going to pass away. So every human being is from sand. Jab zahir jism apne ko taraf iski asal ke mutawajjih kiya, when the zahiri jism, the external body, has been now directed to its original. That was the original, that we have been created from sand, where the Kaaba Sharif, where this, the world had commenced from. So he says your outside body is now directed in the direction of Kaaba Sharif, where the world had now commenced from. Batin ko bhi yani ruh ko taraf iski asal ke yani Haq Taala jo paida karne wala hai iska hai mutawajjih kiya chahiye. So he says this is a very old Urdu, so therefore the sometimes it becomes a bit difficult. So he says that the internal body, which is the ruh, the ruh must also be turned to its original. And what is the original of the ruh? He says this is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the ruh, the internal, the soul of a person, this should be directed to Allah ta'ala. So the outward body is faced towards Kaaba Sharif, but the ruh of a person, this is now directed towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It faces towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the creator of this ruh. Aur hamesha awqat-e panch namaz bila shuba waqt-e darbar aur huzur ka jaankar hajat apne arz kare. And he says always the five namaz times, without doubt a person should present himself at these five times and come into the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and whatever need you have, present this need of yours before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Why? Quran Allah ta'ala says ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, that oh mankind, you are all poor, you are destitute before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and it is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that can fulfill the needs of a person. So therefore he says that five times a day come into the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and whatever your need is, then present this need before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ab bayan namaz ka aur mana alfaz ke misal par samjhe. He says what is the bayan of namaz and the meaning of the word through example. Now he says understand this. Masalan, jis waqt koi banda qasd munajat aur arz hajat ka dil mein muqarrar karke hazir darbar khas ka ho. That when a person in his heart, he has now made up his mind that he wants to now speak to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, engage in conversation with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he wants to present his needs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Meaning now he wants to enter into salah, he wants to present his needs to Allah, he wants to be in conversation with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, or nihayat ta'zeem, that now when you come before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says with total respect, with honor, a person comes in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That the dressing also of a person, it has to be correct. That a person doesn't just come haphazardly in any dressing. A person cleanses himself, purifies himself, makes wudu, and then a person comes before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So with a lot of greatness, a person comes before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or aqidah durust, and the aqidah, the beliefs of a person, this should also be correct when he comes before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or niyat khalis se rubaru is badshah ali ja ke khara hokar, and with a sincere intention that this is my Allah, I'm making the ibadah of my Allah, with the correct intention, a person should come before that great king Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and stand before him. Aur rukh iltifat ka aur taraf se hata kar kahe Allahu Akbar. And a person should move his attention away from everything else. From everything else, now move your attention away and turn your attention to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then say Allahu Akbar, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the greatest. So when a person wants to come before Allah, one is the greatest of Allah. The aqidah of a person should be correct. Sincerity should be in a person, and a person should move his heart away from everything else besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then say Allahu Akbar, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the greatest. It's mentioned that when a banda, he starts his namaz, so at that time the focus of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is on that servant, is on him, and as long as this person, he concentrates, his attention is on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he concentrates in his salah, then this focus of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also remains on him. But the moment he turns away, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's attention also moves away from such a person. So that's what he's saying, that move your attention away from everything and then say Allahu Akbar, that Allah, you the greatest. To isi waqt badshah ali ja apne bande ke qasd aur irade pe muttali hoke inayat e khas marhamat farmate hain. He says at this time when a person turns to Allah and he says Allahu Akbar, then that great king Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is informed of what is the intention of his banda, that my banda has come before me, he has got his needs, he came to present his needs before me. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also bestows him with his bounties and his favors, his rahmat and his mercy. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showers upon a person that now it's only this person and Allah, there's no one else, it is only him and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is what a person, that is why we are here, that we have all come here to look for Allah, that we want Allah. And if Allah Ta'ala becomes ours, then everything is ours. The way the poet says, Ek tu mera, so har shay meri. That Allah, if you are mine, then everything is mine. Everything belongs to me. Zameen meri, falak mera. That the earth is also mine, the heavens are also mine. Everything belongs to you. Ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Wallahi, if you are not mine, then nothing is mine. A person can have all the wealth in the world. A person can have all the riches, the best of home, the best of cars. But he's never in happiness, he's never in contentment, no enjoyment. Why? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not there. And a man that got nothing in his life, but he's got Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that man has got everything. And in this namaz, when a person has said Allahu Akbar, between him and Allah there is nobody. He's got his Allah to himself, exclusively to himself. There was a person by the name of Ayaz. He was the servant or the slave of Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah alayhi. So there are many, many lessons. Mullah Rumi rahmatullah alayhi has written and quoted him that there are many, many lessons to learn from this Ayaz. He says he was a man of great qualities. And our Hazrat says that a person that has qualities in him, he has sifat in him, then irrespective of what he goes through, this person, he'll be very, very successful. Like Yusuf alayhi salam. In the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through, he was thrown into the well, and then he was made a slave. A free man, he was made a slave. He was sold in the markets of Egypt. He was tested with all those women. Then he was put into jail. But he was 100% successful. Why? Because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a man of qualities. And these qualities that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had, where did it come from? It came from his father, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Automatically, that was a Nabi of Allah. And this is a family where Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were born. So that was transferred from the father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam into Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why he was successful. In the end of his life also, or later on, when the brothers met up with him, and was an occasion of revenge, he was a man of qualities. So when they didn't even recognize him, because they met him after so many years, so they asked him, أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ Yusuf? Are you really Yusuf? So he said, I am Yusuf, this is my brother. But at that time what he said, there's no blame upon you, go today, all of you, maaf. I forgive all of you. That this dispute that came about, أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. Shaitan brought this friction between me and my brothers. This hatred that came about, this was from the side of Shaitan. So he was a man of qualities. So this Ayaz also, he was a person of qualities. A person that got qualities. Sometimes it happens certain countries, overnight the tables turn. And a person has to leave. We came from one place in Tanzania. So that brother, he was explaining to us, he said that we were jewelry merchants. And he says, where were we jewelry merchants? In Somalia. And he says, in Somalia there was a time where the tables had turned. So he said we had to leave. So he said that we had a big shop, all the jewelry that we had. So he said, how are we going to take it? So he said, we took it and we buried it somewhere. We buried the jewelry in the wall somewhere, we put it in. And thereafter he said, whatever we could take, we brought it in trunks. And we came to the harbor. There was no plane. We had to move by ship. So he said, we brought it to the harbor. And then we were about to board onto the ship. So they said that it's full. We can't take any more luggage. So he says, that whole trunk of gold, we had to take and dump it. So overnight, and then he was explaining to me, so he says, now there's drought in Somalia. So Allah Ta'ala gave them a lot again. They moved over, they came to Tanzania, and now again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has blessed them with a lot. So he says, now there was drought in Somalia, so we went there. So he said, we went to distribute water. There was no water that was there and food. So he was explaining, so I told him, what happened about the treasure? So he said, no, we went to that building, but that building has been taken over by somebody else. But the point that I'm explaining, many a times it happens. That a person is thriving, he's doing very well. And overnight things change. And when things change, now a person is left penniless. A person has got nothing whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala save us. But a man that got qualities, he will very quickly come up again in life. Why? Because he's got these sifat, he's got these qualities in him. So this Ayaz was a man of qualities. So because of his qualities, he became the favorite of Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullahi alayhi. So the remainder of the ministers, seeing that, they became very jealous of him also. Like Yusuf al-Islam was the beloved of his father. So the brothers became jealous. So he also, they became jealous. So one day, to show the value of Ayaz, so the king, he took out a whole lot of jewelry from whatever in his safes, his vaults he had. He took it out. And he said, today, whatever you put your hand onto, it belongs to you. You can have it. So all the ministers that were there, they all started running all over in the palace, whatever they could get their hands on, because that is theirs. This was a golden opportunity. Ayaz is standing. So the king asked him, he says, Ayaz, didn't you hear my command? That my command is, put your hand and everything is yours. So he said, king, what is your command? Repeat it. He said, that whatever you place your hand on today, it belongs to you. So he asked the king, are you sure? Bacha, are you sure what you are saying? He says, no, 100%. He walked up to the king, he put his hand on the king's head. On the king's head. Why? What he said? He said that all this that you took out here is nothing. is nothing compared to what you still got left in the vault. This is just one small portion that you have taken out and put here. He says, if I got you, all that is in the vault, all that you're ruling over, all the territory, all that will belong to me also. So exactly the same way, if we got Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a man has got Allah, he's got everything. On another occasion, the ministers came and they told the king, they said, oh king, this Ayaz at night, he goes to the vault, he's stealing. So the king knew that this was not true, this was a rumor. But to prove to them that, you know what, you are wrong, he said, okay, let's check him out tonight. So at night, they sat, and really, 2, 3 in the morning, he'll wake up. And where the vaults were, he will go into that area. So what would he do? He will go there. When he came into the palace of the king, he came in torn and tattered clothes. And today he was wearing the robes, silken robes and whatever robes he was wearing today, when he started working for the king. So he'll go into that room, he'll open that drawer or that locker that was there. He would take that out. And when he takes that out, then he will wear that clothing. And then he will talk to himself and say, Ayaz, don't forget your reality. This is what you were. Your value is not on what you're wearing today, what you're driving in, what kind of a home you're living or anything. What was your reality? This torn and tattered clothes that you initially had. So this, don't forget. And so here we also learn that our past, don't forget our past. That apa, or that ustad that taught us Alif Ba, because of whom today we became Sheikhul Hadith, or you became big Maulana Sahab, or big Mufti Sahab, or whatever it might be. Somebody had to start you. Don't forget the time that your parents, what they had to do for you. Person, when he reaches here, now he forgets those people. Now he won't even go and say Jazakallah to those people. But it is those people that brought you from there that you have reached here. If you never know how to read Alif Ba, you wouldn't have come to Quran. And if you didn't know how to read Quran, you couldn't have gone to Hifz. And if you didn't know how, you didn't do your Hifz, or even if you did Hifz, then you had to go on to Tafsir, and you had to go on to translation of Quran, and all this. But you started off there. So don't forget that. So we are mentioning that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so a man that has Allah ta'ala, he has everything. This is a Shah Wasiullah rahmatullahi, very, very beautifully he explained it. And he explained it from the incident of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. That Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam in his time, he says when that Hudhud bird, that bird, the Hupu bird, that bird went missing. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was doing the roll call and he found that this bird was missing. So he said, where is this bird? لا أرى الهدهد أم كان من الغائبين. I don't see the hudhud bird. Where is it? Is he missing? Where is he gone? So he said that when this bird comes back, I will punish it. لو عذبنه عذابا شديدا أو لا يأتيني بسلطان مبين. It has a valid excuse, then no problem, I'll accept it. So after some time, this bird came, and when this bird came, then this bird explained to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam that I went to Sheba, that is in Yemen. There's a queen that is ruling. وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. She and her nation, they're making sajda to the sun. They have left Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who's supposed to be worshipped, and they're worshipping the sun. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam initially, he also doubted, is it true, is it not true? So he said, قَالَ سَنَنْزُرْ أَصَدَقْتَ أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We will see whether you're truthful or you're a liar in what you're saying. So Sulaiman alayhi salam wrote a letter. And he said, take this letter, اِذْهَبْ بِكِتَابِ هَذَا. Take this letter of mine. فَأَلْقِ إِلَيْهِمْ. And throw it to them. So this bird went. And where the queen was, where she was sitting with her ministers or whoever, from the top, the bird dropped the letter. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّ عَنُمْ. Then turn away. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا يَرْجِعُونَ. And see, what is their response. So then she read the letter. And she informed her ministers, said in that this letter has come from Sulaiman. إِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. It's a letter from Sulaiman al-Islam. And he commences in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what does he command her? That don't rebel against me. Allah ta'ala alayya wa atuni muslimin. Submit, accept Islam. Become a Muslim. End of story. So she decided to make mashwara with her ministers. قالت يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في أمري. That give me your eye, your opinion in this matter. What should be done? I'm not going to make a firm decision. ما كنت قاطية أمرا حتى تشهدون. I won't make a decision until you present. So they said, نحن أولو قوة وأولو بأس شديد. We're very, very strong. Very, very mighty. We'll take Sulaiman al-Islam on. We'll fight against Sulaiman al-Islam. So she was an intelligent woman. So she said that, okay, let's test Sulaiman al-Islam. Let's test Sulaiman al-Islam. But before that, she said that, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً. This is the point that I'm coming to. That the kings, when they enter a particular locality, أَفْتَدُوهَا, they destroy everything. وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِيَا أَذِلَّةَ. And the respectable and honorable people of that town, of that country, they humiliate them. But let's see if this is a true Nabi of Allah or is a king of the world. He's just after the wealth. So she said, وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ I'll send a hadiyah. And let's see what response we get. If he accepts the hadiyah, then this man is a king of the world. And if he rejects that hadiyah, he doesn't accept it, it's an indication he's a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. So she took gold, some valuable gifts, and she sent it to Sulaiman alayhi salam. When these messengers came to Sulaiman alayhi salam, it is mentioned in the Kitab of Tafsir, for 2 to 3 miles. 2 to 3 miles before coming to his palace, the whole driveway had paved, was paved with gold. So that person that brought the hadiyah, he thought this is embarrassment. What embarrassment? That here I brought one package here with some gold. Here the whole driveway is paved. Here the gold, he woke up also, mashallah. So anyway, so that was Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So now the point that I was explaining, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَا أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا عِزَّةَ أَهْلِيَ ذِلَّةَ That when the kings they come in, they corrupt everything. They destroy the previous cabinet, they'll wipe it out. Why they wipe out the previous cabinet? For this reason, that if the previous cabinet is existing, then the new king, later on they'll rebel against the new king. So they wipe them out completely. So the Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali says, from this point, he says exactly in the same way, that we have so many sicknesses in us. So many sicknesses. Somebody's got pride. He thinks I'm somebody. Somebody's got desire. I want a lot of wealth. That is greed. A person is not supposed to have greed. Somebody cannot control the eyes. That is a sickness that he has. Now, a person wants to get rid of all these sicknesses. Now, if you're going to start that I want to get rid of the sickness of the eye, so long it will take you to get rid of this one sickness. Then you're going to go, you say, okay, I got this sickness. Now I must get rid of this one. So long. So your whole life will go now getting rid of one sickness, one sickness, one sickness, getting all of them out all the time. Whole life will go. So Hazrat gives an example. He says there's a big farm. So he says this farm is such that there's long grass on this farm. What you say, bush. It's a bush now. Now you want to get rid of this bush. So one way is a person, he takes his clasher, or he takes a lawnmower. Now he starts. So many hectares of land, not the little backyard, hectares of land. Every time he finishes maybe 1 hectare, the land, the grass in the back is growing again. And there's weeds already there again. So every time he goes a little bit front, he has to start again all over from scratch. So he doesn't get anywhere. And he says the other way is, just throw some petrol. Just throw some petrol, some paraffin or something. One match stick. And no work also, whole farm is wiped out. All the weeds, all the grass, if there were some rats also there, everything is gone. So he says, from here, exactly understand in the same way, that a man that will bring Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala into his life, a man that will bring Allah in his life, then all these sicknesses, you won't have to work now to get them out. Because of the love of Allah ta'ala, just one thing a person concentrate on, the love of Allah ta'ala, bring this love of Allah in the heart. And when this will come into that, all your sicknesses will disappear. Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi says, from the ayat of Quran, Fafirru ilallah, that run to Allah. There he says that just take, he says, you don't, even if a person just took the few steps, he took, just changed his direction a little bit, and he's now going in the direction of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says that this person, see the enjoyment that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him immediately in his life. He won't have to wait. Immediate enjoyment a person gets when he turns to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So same thing he's mentioning over here, that a person, the moment he turned his attention to Allah, that I am starting my namaz, Allahu Akbar, Allah ta'ala is the greatest. He says, finish. It's between him and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now starts descending upon such a person. Aur uthana dono haatho ka takbir mein das bardar hona dono jahan se hai. And when a person, he lifts up his hand, when he says Allahu Akbar, then he is withdrawing from both the worlds. I got nothing to do with both the worlds. That it is only me and my Allah. And another way of understanding this is like a soldier. When the soldier comes, when he surrenders, or he says, I give up. I hand myself over to you. So exactly the same way, when a man is saying Allahu Akbar, a person should slightly think of these things when he's performing salah, that I surrender myself. I got nothing to do with both the worlds. It's absolutely nothing. I am before my Allah. It is only me and my Allah. So this is when a person says Allahu Akbar. Niyat or takbir farz hai. So he says to make a niyat in salah. This is farz. This is obligatory. Why fuqaha have written, for example, Zohar time will start. The moment it is after Zawal. The moment the sun moves away from the zenith, it is now Zohar time. So from the time of Zohar, till the time that Zohar comes to an end, whether it is one mithal or whether it is two mithal, whenever according to the Hanafi mazhab, when the length of the shadow is double, so that's when Zohar comes to an end and Asr time finishes. So in this time, a person can make so many namazes. He can make his faraz namaz, a person can make nafil namaz, a person can make qaza namaz, so many namazes. So fuqaha say when there's a possibility of so many namazes, it is necessary that a person makes a niyat. There must be a niyat that I'm performing my faraz namaz. If a person didn't make the niyat, then the faraz namaz of a person didn't take place. He didn't say I'm reading my faraz namaz, the faraz namaz hasn't been discharged. He's not absolved of his responsibility. Yes, in nafil namaz, a person just makes niyat, I'm performing salah Allahu Akbar. Then there's no problem. In nafil is no problem. Although fuqaha say that in the tarawih salah, there also a person just starts, it's fine. But better is a person makes niyat that I'm making a sunnah salah. So there you should make the niyat. But for faraz namaz, a person has to make this niyat that I'm making a faraz namaz. Or takbir faraz hai. And as we mentioned, the takbir, to say the words Allahu Akbar, that is also faraz. To enter into salah. As he gives an example, he says this takbir that a person recites. Then he says Allahu Akbar to enter into salah. This is like when you go to the house of somebody. So when you went to somebody's house, you can't just enter into the house. You have to knock at the door first. And you have to attain permission. Then when they open the door, then what's the next step? Now you make Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So he says this takbir is like knocking at the door. Now that you have knocked at the door, now you can enter into salah. And the moment you entered salah, now you enter somebody's house, you must make salam. So here what we do, the salam, so to say the salam is the sana. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jidduka wa la ilaha ghayru. So he says niyat or takbir faraz hai. Baad isi ke dua istiftah hai. And after this is the sana that we recite. Or isme ta'zeem or tawheed hai. In the sana that we recite, the subhanakallahumma, he says this comprises of two things. One is the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And one is the oneness of Allah. One is the ta'zeem, the greatness of Allah. And one is the oneness of Allah. Wo ye hai subhanakallahumma. That a person recites, subhanak, oh Allah, you are pure. You are pure from all faults whatsoever. There has never been any fault in you whatsoever. Subhanakallahumma, oh Allah, you are free from all faults. Wa bihamdika. And all praises belong to you. All praises. As it mentioned that there are four types of praises. That one praise is where a man, he praises himself. He praises himself. And the second praise is where somebody praises you. So that's the second one. The third type of praise is where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala praises you. That is the third praise. Like Allah ta'ala speaks of Ayyub alayhi salam. Ni'mal abd innahu awwab. Allah ta'ala praises Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam. So that is where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala praises a person. And the fourth type of praise is where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala praises himself. La uhsi sana'an alayk. Anta kama asnayt ala nafsik. I cannot praise you, Allah. You are as though you have praised yourself. How you have praised yourself, that is what you are worthy of. So these are four types of praises that you get. So when a person says, وَبِحَمْدِكَ, so all four praises are included over here. Whether like a person, he praises himself, or somebody praises him. Or Allah Ta'ala praises him, or Allah Ta'ala praises himself, all types of praises are included. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ, and your name is full of barakah. Wallah, your name is full of barakah. One person came to Mullah Gangoi, rahmat in the name of Allah. He told Mullah Gangoi, rahmatullahi, that I'm making zikr. But in the zikr that I'm making, I don't get enjoyment. Initially, when a person treads this path, and he starts his zikr, then he gets a lot of enjoyment in that zikr. When he takes the name of Allah, there's enjoyment. But gradually, as time goes along, the enjoyment is gone. And that is where the real test comes in. Because the zikr, are you making it for enjoyment, or are you making it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? So after some time, the enjoyment disappears. So this person, he had this problem. So he came to Mullah Gangoi rahmatullahi, he said, Hazrat, I'm making zikr, but I'm not getting the enjoyment. So Mullah Gangoi rahmatullahi said, make shukr to Allah. That one limb of your body is in the zikr of Allah tabarakah. This is a great ni'mat of Allah. So the objective should be for the pleasure of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. And if in a person, he gets enjoyment on top of that, then this is an added bonus. This name of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala is so valuable that look at a man and a woman. They are na mahram. They are total strangers, haram for one another. But just the khutbah of nikah takes place. Just the khutbah of nikah, the name of Allah Ta'ala is read. The name of Allah Ta'ala is taken. And that husband and wife, that were haram for one another, they become halal for one another. Although, that is not a condition for the validity of the nikah also. That is sunnah, it is mustahab. But on the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, two people that were haram, they became halal for one another. How much of barakat in this? In those that take the name of Allah Ta'ala, the mashayikh that are always in zikr, people will go and sit at their feet. And they say, Hazrat, make dua for me. Make dua for me. On what barakat? On the barakat of this name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The Shaykh rahmatullahi said that we saw those mashayikh of ours, that when other people made zikr, then he says, their mouth starts watering. That these people are making zikr. And to such an extent, even the Hindus, the Hindus in India, they go with their children and they stand outside the masjid. When the child is not well, they stand outside the masjid. When the people come out of the masjid, they say, please man, make one dam on this child. Make this blow on this child, that he'll be cured. There was an alim, Maulana Vahid Rahmatullah Ali, was in Shakas Kharaj. Passed away, he was going for Hajj, but passed away. So he used to write Taweez. He used to read in the water, blow, keep Taweez in the water, in Shakas Kharaj. They, myself, I seen Hindu people sitting there. Hindu people coming and sitting there, they also waiting that maybe he'll blow in the water or give them some Taweez to put in the water, so their problems are also resolved. On what a person gets all this? On the name of Allah Ta'ala. So great is the name of Allah. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ. And your authority is so high, O Allah. Your authority, your excellence is so high, O Allah. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. And there is no other deity except you, O Allah. So this is that, so to say, the salam that a person makes now that he has entered his salah. We'll continue from this point, inshallah.